welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for this glorious and wonderful day, God. Thank you for the privilege just for life, health, and strength, God. Thank you, God, that when I awoke this morning, I was clothed and in my right mind, God. Now I'm looking to you, the great author and the finisher of our faith, God. Bless us right now from on high. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Can we rest on our feet this morning? The book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, very familiar to you. Read 1 down through 8. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. When you have it, say amen. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rent and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. You may be seated. Word of the Lord. Think with me from this thought. Intimidated by change. Intimidated by change. How many people like change? Companies do it all the time. Marketing strategies change. Consumer targeted audience for products change. Price points. You go to ShopRite today, beans ain't no longer 99 cents. How companies want their brands positioned also change. Store changes their layouts where stuff used to be, now it's in a different place. Election of political officials involve change. Thank God, 2 more years. And there are also changes even in the church. I know you say things should remain the way they are, but that don't happen. Things change. Then we have personal changes, like at home. The old carpet is replaced by new carpet. New paint on the walls. Furniture is rearranged. So forth and so on. And there are always those of us that really don't like change. I like that chair over there, honey. What's wrong with the old carpet? Why do we need to change the furniture? I'm reminded that even last summer during the NBA basketball season, there was speculation about key NBA players, where they would end up. And what was surprising to a lot of people was where Kawhi Leonard and Paul George end up in Los Angeles playing for the Clippers. So you see, changes do take place. But we don't have to be frightened or subdued or intimidated. You see, times and seasons are a regular part of life, no matter where you are. And if there were not for the dependability of God's ordained laws, daily life would be chaotic, if not impossible. That's why God's word says that If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then turn from their wicked ways, and then and only then will we hear from heaven, and he would heal our land. One of the most often heard phrases of a dying business, of a dying church, of a dying dream is, we've never done it that way before. And evil, successful people who follow their God-given instinct can fall into the detrimental patterns and resist the ever-present need to adapt and change. The failure to change and adapt to times can cause all of our successes, all of our hard work to wither and dry up or become totally irrelevant. It's a challenge to stay vigilant to changes around us and adjust or even discard old ideas and concepts that have outlived their usefulness. I'm reminded of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian. He says this. He says, we must learn to regard people less in light of what they do or are meant to do and more in light of what they suffer. Dr. Martin Luther King says, change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through continuous struggle. And so we must straighten out our backs and work for our freedom. A man can't ride you unless your back is bent. See, wise people know that everything has a season. There's a time to expand, a time to hold back. Don't hold on to the old just because it's familiar. Change doesn't always mean letting things go, but it does mean facing reality and making adjustments where needed. If you're sitting at home watching TV and the color ain't right, guess what? You get up and make the adjustments as if you know how to work your TV. See, the book of Ecclesiastes is often looked upon as the Bible's resident evil, alien. Many read Ecclesiastes, but the meaning of the words are far less clear to a lot of us. Christians and Jews have traditionally believed Solomon to have been the author of this book. However, because of the rise of historical criticism, the authorship and the date of composition, the purpose and message, even the original language of the book have all been heavily disputed. But I believe that Solomon is the author. So what was the teacher preacher saying in these verses? The word season is rendered as an appointed occasion. And the word time is rendered as a beginning period. The time of our entrance into the world, the condition of life in which we are placed, are determined for us by a higher will than our own. And the same sovereign power fixes the moment of our departure from life. And in like manner, all that is done, enjoyed, and suffered between birth and death is governed by forces which we cannot bend, mold, or shape, or even understand. So Solomon was trying to get us to see that the seasons at the beginning is an occasion. Then he says time is a beginning period. In these 14 statements, which I just read, Solomon was affirming that God is at work in our individual lives, seeking to accomplish his will. Not your will, not my will, but his will. And that all these events come from God, and they are good in their own time. And when they say good in their own time, good in God's own time. His time is different from our time. See, in the remaining verses, the teacher moves to using what is called antithetical phrases, ranging from external circumstances to the inner affections of man's being. In other words, he was comparing the opposites. In other words, things like abortion, birth control, mercy killing, and even surrogate parenthood, it may look as though man is in control of the birth. It may look. These devices are available. You say, I don't want my son or my daughter, I don't want them to have children. These vices, it may look like you're in control. Because I'm sure you done talked to a lot of people that were on these same devices, and all of a sudden you saw them the next day, the device didn't work. It may look like these things are in control. However, birth and death are not human accidents. They are divine appointments, for God is in control. In verse 2, instead of a time to be born, the Hebrew term should be given birth. You see, giving birth, and then when they use planting, are both ways of giving life. So destruction and killing are part of life and cannot be avoided. Therefore, the teacher is merely asserting that in a world where death is a central fact of life, there will also be a time to kill. See, we know that the perfect peace does not exist on earth. Thus, we are confronted with events that happened recently, like in London, where they found 39 bodies were found dead in the back of a truck, what appeared to be human trafficking. Or the 3-year-old girl who was kidnapped on her birthday party in Birmingham, Alabama, then the remains of her body was found in a trash bin. Because of the sinfulness of humanity, one has to ask the question, with these events being seen by the teacher in Ecclesiastes as a season or an appointed occasion or a time to kill, which means in a beginning period. See, life is composed of joy and suffering, building and destroying, living and dying. Each comes at the proper time. Is it time to give birth? Is it time to let some things die? Perhaps it's time to plant. And maybe it is time to harvest. It could be a time to break things down or invest in building things up. This reminds us that we are creatures of time and not yet able to partake of the joy of eternity. So whatever season you find yourself in, embrace it. Assess what needs to be done and follow the inclinations in your heart. You see, past successes can be our greatest roadblocks to future accomplishments, because what worked in the past may not necessarily work in the future. I'm going somewhere this morning. I got 3 points for you. Here's the first one. All endings are beginnings. We just don't know it yet. All endings are beginnings. We just don't know it yet. How can I make you say, understand that? I remember I had a Nissan SUV, 1993. I put about 170,000 miles on that thing. And it still was in good shape. I got a recall. They said, bring it in. It's a recall on the part. I took my truck in, Deke, and they said, well, we got to keep it. You need to come back tomorrow. I said, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. I get a phone call. They said, Mr. Campbell, we got to keep your truck. I said, excuse me? They said, the truck ain't safe. I said, oh, no, 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 no. I brought the truck in, I drove it in, and I'm coming to get my truck. They said, oh, no, the truck is not safe. I said, so what does that mean? He says, well, we'll be willing to offer you some money for it. I said, no, I don't know about that. I need my truck. They said, we're going to offer you $3,000 for your truck. I put the phone on hold. I just talked to my mechanic. He told me I'd be lucky if I can get parts for it. So I get back on the phone. I said, no, 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 $3,000. That's the best you can do? He said, hold on, Mr. Campbell. Let me talk to my supervisor. He comes back. He said, well, we'll be willing to write you a check for $4,500. I said, hold on. I said, you say 4,500, is that the best you could do? They say, yeah. I said, okay, you got a deal. All endings are beginnings. I had to understand that the truck was done. They say the motor mount parts, it wouldn't hold in the engine. That's why it wasn't safe. But I had to accept the fact, even though I was trying to be greedy, I had to accept the fact because I had already known that from my mechanic. He told me I would be lucky if I got parts. Paul's letter of personal growth to the Corinthians is another perfect illustration. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I had to put away childish things. Again, Paul is referencing, he says, all endings are beginnings. See, we have to say goodbye to things of old so we can be about embracing our new horizons. One chapter has to end in order for us to turn the page for a new one to begin. What endings have you encountered in your life that's now you realize are beginnings? Some of us were even downsized on a job but elevated to a new job. Or we were people in our life that we thought were our friends until we needed a friend. So we have to understand, we have to accept that sometimes change requires that we reach out to new people with different resources, with a different perspective. Some things have to die in order for other things to live. All endings are beginnings. We just don't know it yet. The next point, you got to leave the past in the past and move on. Leave the past in the past and move on. Lot's wife was the poster child for this behavior. She turned to look back at Sodom and Gomorrah and instantly became a pillar of salt. She wanted to hang on to the life she once had, thus refusing to move on to the next step of her life and her journey. Each time we need to make a change, we feel afraid because we don't know what's coming. Like most people, we lack predictability. We thrive on sureness. Change means stepping into an unknown and losing our comfortable routine. You see, God supplies everything we need for success and change. And when we make changes with his help, they stay changed. See, when we make changes with God's help, it'll stay there. But if you go outside and get some advice and get somebody to give you some bad information to get you to do something that they did, it didn't work for them, so why they think it's going to work for you? And guess what? You buy right into it. How many times do we find ourselves hanging on to stuff? Throw away those shoes. They don't fit anyway. They're out of style. Give those clothes to someone that needs them, that can appreciate them. They're too small for you anyway. We have to stop being hoarders of stuff. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doeth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal them, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. If you don't think your dreams will ever come to pass, they never will. And if you don't think you have what it takes to rise up and set that new standard, it's not going to happen. Break through those limitations of the past and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, no matter what you've gone through in the past, no matter how many setbacks you've suffered, or who has tried to prevent your progress, today is your new day. God wants to do a new thing in your life. Never be afraid to trust the unknown future and to accept God, what God is getting ready to do. Got to leave the past in the past and move on. I know these are inspirational words, but this is God's word. That's why he said when he called you out of something, He brought you into something else. And if he called you out of something, he was saying the same thing. He said, I brought you out of that situation. And you still want to go back to it. You want to go back because it's familiar. He said, don't you know what? How much hell you went through? That's why I brought you out of it. And you said, well, they didn't really mean it. They didn't really understand then. So God said, go on back then. See, sometimes we have to hit rock bottom before we can come up and breathe again. I can't tell you. God can't tell you. Only you can tell you. That's what it is. And I thank him for that free will that he gives us. Leave the past in the past. And here's my final point. Stop idolizing the way it was. Stop idolizing the way it was. There are those of us who will never make the full transition. Are you willing to change your thinking? Are you willing to take the limits off of what God can do in your life? Every one of us resists significant change, no matter whether it's for the worse or it's for the better. See, the old way may be less preferable, but it's familiar, and there's value there. The new way is foreign, and it's unfamiliar, and therefore it seems a little more risky. If you will change your thinking, God can change your life. When we idolize the way it was, the present can never successfully compare to the past. We become like a wobbling dish of jello. Many of us look alive, but in reality, we're dead. We have settled into a very nice self. So much of what we used to be is now dormant. I used to be smaller than what I am. My hair grew longer than what it does. And the spaces in my mouth used to be teeth. See, change is consistent, but that doesn't make it easy. We need to be reminded that the unknown can overwhelm us, but God is omniscient. He knows everything about us, including the future. He prepares us for the future in ways we cannot prepare ourselves. And we know that all things, what? Work together for good. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Stop idolizing the past, how things used to be. If you spend all your time today thinking about your failure or success yesterday, then you will ruin your tomorrow. Remember, when today looks too long at yesterday, we are borrowing from tomorrow's time. In other words, when driving a car, when we want to see what's behind us, we do what is called look in the rearview mirror. So then our yesterday is like the rearview mirror, but we only use it to glance into, not to stay into. And there are too many Christians living in the rearview mirror of yesterday. I'm just trying to help you. So I'm done. No story, but I'm done. But I think I can tell you, once upon a time, there was an unhappy poor man. His home was very poor, and it was a small, empty house where mice made their nests and where spiders made their webs. So the poor man blamed poverty as the reason for his misfortune. One day the poor man went to see a wizard, and he complained about his miserable life. The wizard felt sorry for the poor man. So the wizard said, I'm gonna give you a unique vase. He said, take this vase home. It's a magical vase. It would help you move out of your poverty. So the man took the vase home. He looked at the vase and he couldn't take his eyes off the vase. He started talking to himself. He said, something is missing. So he went outside and picked some wild flowers, brought them back in the house and put them into the vase. He looked at the vase again. He started talking to himself again. He says, something is just missing. I can't see the beauty in the vase for all that clutter that's in the back. So then the man started cleaning the house. He started dusting. He started washing. He even started painting the walls. And then he realized that, hey, I'm not really poor. In other words, the vase wasn't magical in itself, but the newness of the vase made things different. So sometimes we have to understand we go through life blaming others for what ultimately our eyes could not see. Sometimes we have to push past the mess, the physical mess, in order to appreciate the beauty that exists. The Bible says he came into his own and his own received him not. But it says, as many as received him, to them gave he powers to become the sons of God. We do not move forward by focusing on what's behind us. We move forward by focusing on what's in front of us. Change is inevitable. To not change is a sure sign of imminent extension. A reminded Mother Teresa said this. She said, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin. See, the reason a lot of us are still sick in our body because you're still listening to what other people say. They keep telling you, I know somebody that had that same sickness and they never overcame. Instead of you saying, well, I know somebody that would deliver you from that same sickness and he's heard about and he's known throughout the world. Change is imminent. We have to understand if you stay where you are, you'll die. Stop looking in the rearview mirror of yesterday. Move forward in what God has called us to do. He's looking at the Redeemer today. He said, you have always been a great church. He said, just like any other church, we all have ups and downs in life. He said, I'm getting ready to do a new thing. And are you ready and open for the new thing that I'm getting ready to do in you? Stop living in yesterday. Don't be intimidated by change. Change is going to happen. No matter where you live, the doors of the church are open. Stand on your feet.
It's a new season.
Come on, choir.
It's a new day.
It's a new season.
Fresh anointing.
Look at God. Ain't that right?
Flowing my way.
Look at God.
Season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me.
The doors of the church are open. It is a new season. It's a new day. You can come by letter. You can come by water baptism on your Christian experience. If you're new to the neighborhood, we welcome you. Is there one today? The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, it says salvation is yours. It only goes on and says that whosoever, that means it don't matter what you look like, it don't matter what you sound like. All you have to do is just have a willing heart. You got to make a change. That old behavior ain't working for you. It's obvious. Some of us are still hanging on to what used to be. I used to be smaller too. But I'm happier now because Jesus is a part of me. So I'm filled up in Christ. Is there one today? Man, woman, boy, girl, come on. Sing, y'all. It is a new season. We extend discipleship to anyone that's outside the ark of safety. Is there one? Come on. You've been coming to church Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month. Is Jesus a part of your life? Is there one? It's a new season.
It's a new season.
It's a new day.
Come into me.
Is there one?
Jesus.
Y'all gonna make me walk to church?
It's a new
God knows
day.
You. He knows if you're here.
Fresh anointed.
Is there one? Come on. Man, woman, boy, girl, we accept you. Come on. We all had to have that walk.
In prosperity.
Is there one?
It's a new season.
It's a new day.
Come into me.
Yes. We'll wait on you. This is not a part of our tradition. This is our opportunity to make sure that we're in right fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the only one that has fulfilled all three offices, the prophet, the priest, and his king. I don't know anybody else that has met that requirement. And that's why we take time at this appointed time to extend the invitation of discipleship, to make sure that you understand that you can't have no peace without him. You can't have no rest without him. It looks good and it sounds good, but you know, that's why you're tossing and turning all night long. Is there one? Is there one? Thank my young people for singing. You don't have to have a lot. All you have to do is have a willing heart. Thank you. Amen.